Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. And welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's me, your girl, POC. Wake up, wake up, wake up. Today is Winning Wednesday here on Revive. I'm extremely excited to be back on these airways. You know me. I'm here to educate and re-educate the people as always. So definitely stay tuned and spread the word. We are live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. You guys, we have a jam-packed show as always for you guys out here listening to meet your girl POC. Yo, follow the timeline. I'm pushing this all the way through. Follow the timeline at Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, that is Revive_POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Don't sleep. Just make sure you guys go turn that blue button green. I'm tripping. Make sure you guys go turn that blue button green and follow the platform. We are live tweeting and posting the entire show. So make sure you guys stay tuned to the Revive platform today. We have some weekly thrills today, man. We have two weekly thrills today that we are going to drop for you. We have mental motivation coming up with the homie Iris. I'm extremely excited about that. And then we also have the spit up, man. We haven't had a spit up in a very long time. We having the spit up on Revive today as well with the homie Kevin, who creates apps. Yo, he's an app creator. He is one of those people you need to have in your circle. If you are an entrepreneur right now and you don't have somebody in your circle who does who do technology, man, you slipping. You need that person on the line who can, you know, if you like, yo, something wrong with my website, you can hit them up real quick and they get the job done. So definitely you need somebody in your circle who can get the job done when it comes to technology, definitely. But I want to get straight into it, man. I want to get straight into it. Today, something really dropped off. Once again, today is July 26, 2017. For you guys who've been asleep all day, you don't know what today's date is. Today is Wednesday, July 26. But yeah, I want to get right into it, man. And also, we got Tab Money Habits coming up, too. I cannot forget about Tab Money Habits. She's in Cancun right now, but she still did her due diligence. She still put something out there for us that you guys are going to listen to coming up around about 8:30 tonight on Revive. But I got to get into it. Let me get right back to what I was saying. Yo, True Heart, not my president, maybe your president, but not my president. Donald Trump today decided that he no longer wants transgenders to be a part of the armed forces. He's out of control. He's so out of control. But what he did with that made it so wild is he dropped this on Twitter this morning. He didn't have like a press conference, a press briefing, anything like that. This man decided to do what? Go on Twitter. He's been on Twitter since he became president. He has not stopped with the Twitter fingers. I'm like, yo, this man really is going to drop this. Do you know how impactful that information is? Like, do you know how game changing that information is? And he decided to drop that on Twitter this morning. President Donald Trump announced on Wednesday that the United States will no longer accept or allow transgender people in the United States military, saying that American forces must be forced is being overwhelmed with people who are transgender. And one of the main reasons that he talked about was healthcare. And you know what he's trying to do with Obamacare. He's literally trying to take the entire legacy of Obama, of the Obama administration, and just toss it out the window. Just toss the entire 8 years and toss it out the window as if it never exists. How in the hell is that going to work? It's never going to work. And then the first thing that popped in my mind was like, yo, where is these All Lives Matter people when they really need you right now? Because when it came to the women in Minnesota, it was crickets. And now it's just transgender in the military situation. I ain't seen nothing on Twitter since Donald Trump's rant this morning that really sparked any kind of conversation. So if you guys have something out there that I need to read, please send it to me on either my Twitter or Facebook at Revive_POC, because this is extremely overwhelming to me to know that he's really, when it comes to healthcare, he really does not give a crap. Like, he does not give a crap about we the people, air quotes, if I wish you guys could see me, we the people, super air quotes, when it comes to our healthcare. Like, it's crazy. And at the end of the day, he's now putting a, well, it's always been about pandering to a Pacific community, but now it's like, yo, he's messing with the LGBT. I know they about to go off. They don't play about theirs. So I know they about to go off. Trua, how you feel about it?
It's honestly not surprising, but he is one of the biggest hypocrites ever, because on his campaign trail, and I was listening to different articles, and they brought up on his campaign trail, he was such an advocate, or I don't necessarily want to use the word advocate, but basically what he was saying is that he isn't going to undo mm-hmm. what President Obama did in regards to LGBTQA community. So the simple fact that you just have the nerve to drop this policy on Twitter is absolutely outrageous. And the fact that you even have a nerve to drop this policy at all is just so hypocritical. But it's Donald Trump that we're speaking of, so I really don't even expect anything else. I really don't. He's a terrible, terrible person, and his policies reflect the type of character and the type of person that he is. So at the end of the day, just like you said before, he messed with the wrong community. LGBTQ A community has been fighting too long, and I doubt that they're tired now. They're just going to revolt and keep fighting. So he has another thing coming.
Definitely. And the crazy part is Barack Obama, his administration just put this forth last year in 2016. So this is still a brand new issue. You know what I mean? This is still something that the armed forces was working the kinks out anyway. So it wasn't like, you know, it was to just go ahead and just go on. It was something that's been worked out. It was being worked out anyway. So to know that he's now like, yeah, no, it's just not gonna happen. And then they didn't even give us enough information. Today in the White House press briefing, Sarah Huckabee, man, oh my gosh, this is the one who took over for Sean last week, which is she's man, she's trying her best, right?
The trash emoji.
Yeah, she's trying her best. I'm not with her. I don't support her, but she's trying, man, because she got chewed out today. And the thing about it is, she threatened to actually shut down the briefing because reporters kept attacking her when it came to this situation. Like, so are we going to get some more information? Are you going to tell us anything more? It's about to be the actual people who are on the front line at this very moment. Do they now have to come home? Are they going to be still assisted while they're out there? Like, do they have to take their uniforms off right now? It's so many questions that I have. So I know the people in the people in that briefing was down her neck, because I actually watched it myself. But it was like, yo, you gotta have some answers. You can't just come out and keep saying this is on the military, this is on the military, this is on the military. At the end of the day, when it comes down to the DOD, who's going to answer for them? Who's going to answer for them? And then you also have to think about the Department of Justice. What, 2 days ago, 3 days ago, Donald Trump was just talking trash about the Attorney General. So it's like, where are we at with this situation? Where are we really at with this situation? Yo, Trueheart, read those. I want to read those tweets for you guys, because that's how he dropped this policy on us. He dropped it on us on Twitter. So I want to read the actual tweets that that he put out there this morning. Go ahead and read them for us.
The president of the United States tweeted. Well, honestly, he didn't even tweet it from his POTUS account. That's how you know that in this administration, it's honestly how you know that it's real. He tweeted it from his Donald Trump account, which is stupid.
Yo, one thing that I'm learning, though, and one thing that I learned, I should say, so the way Donald Trump is set up, he's starting to do whatever he wants to do. So he kind of combined the two tweets. I mean, kind of combined the two Twitter pages. So it's really one page now. Yeah, you got to do your research to figure it out. I was one of those people like, yo, I need to know why he is allowed to tweet from his personal page. But it's actually the way Donald Trump administration is set up. He can do a lot of things that not many people can do. So it's actually one page. Yeah, it's combined somehow, some way. Twitter did that for him.
But those transgender tweets aren't even on his POTUS page, though, which is honestly absurd. But like I was saying, Donald Trump is over here. He tweets. So first he tweeted out after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow dot 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 dot. So he left everybody in suspense, like, oh my gosh, what happens now? Transgender individuals to serve in any capacity, let me repeat, in any capacity in the U.S. military, our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. Thank you. As if you didn't just drop a bomb on everyone, not even in America, but internationally. What are you talking about, Donald Trump? Like, you can't be serious, right? And so that's why Sarah got chewed out in the press release, because the press conference, because this is not enough information.
It's
more than information. It's just, this isn't right. So there's just so many nouns and adjectives and verbs I can describe my anger and disgust towards him right now. But you just don't release things like this on Twitter. You just don't do it.
On any social media. It's that's worse than that stupid game everyone is playing right now. What's it called? Sarah, Sahara? I keep pronouncing it wrong. Whatever it's called. Whatever he's doing is worse than that. At least he's not doing it anonymously. You know what I mean? But at the same time, we gotta wake up. We gotta start speaking up for ourselves, because we never know what this man is capable of doing. And he did this without any warning at all. You know, it has been talks about it the entire time, but it hasn't been any like, yo, this is what we're going to do. So the fact that he wakes up and he drops his first tweet at 8:55 this morning saying, yo, good morning, and I got some news for you guys. I want to know how you guys feel out there. 215-490-9832. Give me a call right now and let me know how you feel. Once again, that number is 215-490-9832. I really need to know how you feel. Yo, I want to get somebody on the show on Sunday who can actually have this conversation with me. You know what I mean? I would love to get some transgender people who identify themselves as transgender, on the show to actually talk about this whole military situation, because it's really, really eye-opening for me. So now I got to go do more research for me to, you know, understand where, you know, the LGBT community is actually coming from and how it is really going to affect them in many. And then also, some, you know, one thing that really stood out to me, if you think about it, the military is all volunteer. Like, you volunteer to go do this. This is not something that is an occupation. You got to go get this job. This is something that you want to do because you want to protect and you want to serve your country. To say that no, these people cannot volunteer to protect and serve their country, when you have millions of Americans who like, yeah, no, I would never join the armed forces, and you actually have people who want to go do it, how does that make us ready? How does that make us ready for whatever is about to happen? So that, I have a lot of questions for that. But we do have our first guest coming up on the Revive platform today. She is coming up for the Mental Motivation Weekly Thrill. I'm excited to have this conversation with her today. We are going to go to a very, very small commercial break. Right after this commercial break, we are going to be up with our very first guest, Iris. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Sometimes you see that I'm mad. No one can always be an angel. When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
Black women in general, everybody thinks we're mad and angry and bitter.
I always get that I'm angry.
And there's not a black man walking around that won't tell you, yeah, they seem to be pissed off. Can I say pissed?
That we will not further our education, or that we will become a statistic.
smart enough? Can I handle it? Can I handle the task? Is it too much for me?
Aggravated, loud, ghetto. We're always loud and we're always ghetto.
And they're loud, obnoxious.
I think people think that as a black woman, all you're really good for is what they hear on the radio, which is sex and having babies and then some more sex.
Hey, did y'all see the stuff I posted on my wall?
No, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy Black 365.com.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
And we are back on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go directly to TuneIn and just search Time for an Awakening. You can either download the app or go to TuneIn.com and just search once again Time for an Awakening. And you're here, meet your girl POC live on these airways from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday here on Revive. We do have our first guest coming up. Make sure you guys are following the timeline on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. So you can definitely stay tuned to this interview we're about to have with someone who's extremely dope coming out of the Philadelphia area. Yo, Chuar, who do we have coming up on the Revive platform?
On the Revive platform, we have Iris L. Mendez. Iris is a licensed mental health professional, certified wellness coach, speaker, and blogger dedicated to spreading awareness on mental and physical health through mental health treatment, physical health empowerment, nutritional education, and specialty focused on mindfulness. She enjoys empowering and motivating her clients to live healthier, happier, holistic lives, mind and body. Change begins in your mind. Welcome, Iris, to the Revive platform.
Thank you.
How are you doing today, Iris?
I'm good. How are you? Thank you for having me.
I'm glad you hopped back off the mic and got right back on another mic. That's how you're supposed to do it, Iris. You just finished your own show.
Yes.
Check out TuneIn app
on the OptiServe radio show, Daily Grind Radio, every Wednesday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Awesome. How was the show today, though?
It was good. It was good. We had a dope speaker on, author from the Philly area as well, at Mr. PDQ. Definitely good vibes and good networking as always.
As always, definitely. Go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself. I know she just read out the bio, but if you can go ahead and tell people a little bit about yourself so they can get to know you.
Okay. So hello, everyone. My name is Iris. I am a licensed mental health professional, licensed social worker in the state of Pennsylvania, with a certification in wellness coaching. I have a passion for holistic wellness, not just physical wellness, but mental health. I learned that that is pretty much my gift to the world right now. And so I want to spread awareness on mental health and spread awareness on all of my services and gifts to, honestly, a population that is underserved and a population that unfortunately isn't privileged to the information that I have been privileged to obtain through my various education and experience.
Awesome. What made you get into the, you know, environment of wellness? What made you jump into that?
So I have a background, bachelor's in psychology. I'm originally from New Jersey. And I got a bachelor's in psychology because I knew I wanted to help people. When I moved to Pennsylvania about 6 years ago, I went to Widener University to obtain my master's. And I was struggling around that time, personally, physically and mentally. And I embarked on my own personal journey to live a healthier life, educate myself from a more personal level, not just textbook level. And I really just empowered myself and educated myself to live a healthier life holistically, physical activity, proper nutrition, and mental health.
Yeah,
mental health treatment.
Definitely. When it comes to mental health is real. We had a show about mental health, and it taught me so many different things that I did not know about mental health. And to now that I'm actually paying attention to the different symptoms and things that may come up when you're having different conversations or interacting with different people, that's like when it became really eye-opening to me. Like, mental health is extremely real. Would you give us your definition of what you would say mental health is?
So I would say that everyone has their own, I guess, mental health symptoms, if you will. Some of that may be positive and some of that may be negative. Not all mental health is a negative aspect, but unfortunately, there's not enough education out there or information out there to make us aware of when it, you know, downward spirals and it goes bad. So as far as mental health goes, it's really just improving your mindset, being aware of thoughts that are not conducive to the quality of your life, to your well-being, and things that contribute to your overall success and progress as a a contributing citizen, if you will, in the world.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. So that leads me to my next question. So do you think, in your opinion, do you think that wellness and healthy are the exact same thing, or are there differences?
So I actually have a blog about this on my website, www.findyourwillwellness.com. And what inspired to write this blog entry is Opportunities to Serve, who I work closely with. I was featured on their website. That's Opportunities to Serve LLC, and kind of intrigued me to write this blog about what wellness is. That word is pretty much thrown around so much, and it's become more so of a fad. I mean, you go on Instagram and social media, you see so many things on coaches and health, and but there's really no deep explanation to it. But there's actually 8 components of wellness. And so to me, that's all encompassing. Health is included in that. Physical health is included in that. Social wellness, environmental wellness, mental and emotional wellness. There's so many different dimensions and components to it that make up what that means. So I would say physical health is a part of wellness.
Definitely. I agree with you on that one. Definitely. It can go hand in hand at times, depending on the person that you are individually. Definitely. So that actually leads me to my next question. You said I'm at a point in time that you were going through things where you were going to get your master's. You realized that mental health was real. So do you feel as though that while you're on the journey to help people find wellness within themselves, that you have found, you know, wellness within you and you grew a little bit more?
Most definitely, and I think that that's pretty much the first step is that awareness of the self and that awareness that something isn't necessarily right. You know, your spirit isn't right with you, and that there is a need for some sort of change. Whether that's, you know, you want to lose weight, or whether that's you want to change your mindset on something, or whether that's you're struggling with relationships, you're struggling in, you know, your career, work life. All of that takes into account.
That makes sense. That definitely makes sense. So what is that? What is that one mantra or that one motto that you go by that you continue to walk on this path of wellness? What is that one thing that keeps you going?
I guess mantra, if you will. I have a few of them. Some of them I have tattooed on me. Awesome. Just breathe. You know, mindfulness is really, the practice of mindfulness has really changed my life tremendously. And that's really my specialty focus. Just is really practicing being mindful with the self and being mindful and being present in the moment. So there's times that I may be struggling. There's times where I may have some self-doubt or I'm struggling through something very minute, and you know, I just tell myself to just breathe. Another one is my model from my business, you know, my movement, Find Your Will Wellness, is change begins in your mind. You know, any change that you want to make, whether it's you want to do 10 push-ups, you want to you know, go to college, you want to get a certain job, like whatever that change is, it's all going to start from within your mind. No matter what, you have to change that mindset and really believe that you can do it and start to implement the necessary tasks that's needed towards attaining that goal.
Definitely. It's always in the mind. People will really talk themselves out of so many different things because they're in their own way. So I definitely agree with you on that.
Yeah. I've been there. Sometimes I catch myself in that, sometimes even now. And, you know, that's something that is I'm very aware of, you know, and just got to push through it.
Definitely. So I have a question. So when it comes down to the people that you have spoken with and you have interacted with throughout your journey of wellness, what is that one common, you know, I'm not going to call it like illness or sickness, but what is that one common, I can't really get it out, but what's that one common thing that you're always finding people to say that that's their problem that they're faced with, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
A lot of it, honestly, is negative thinking habits. There's a lot of different common unhelpful thinking habits or cognitive distortions. And some of that, obviously, is because of mental health. Like some people have serious mental health illnesses or diagnoses that they're not treating, and they need, you know, actual treatment, going to therapy, maybe even seeing a psychiatrist and getting some medications prescribed. Like that's definitely something that needs to be worked on. But then there's that unhelpful thinking pattern that stems from your upbringing. It stems from, you know, you might have been bullied as a child. You have gone through some trauma, some abuse, and you have those negative thinking that then in turn, you know, it manifests from childhood to adulthood, and it lies on your behaviors. And so it's shown through your behaviors. And some people don't even notice that they have it until they actually start to get the help that they need to become more aware of it. And it could be something as simple as, you know, I want to lose 20 pounds, or I want to, you know, travel outside of my norms, in a sense, or step outside of my norms, step outside of my comfort zone, and they just can't because this has been holding them back. That's the common across the board, from my mental health clients to my wellness clients. That's pretty much been, I guess, a commonality, and it's something that I personally can identify with for sure.
Awesome. Awesome. Once again, for you guys who just tuned in, we're speaking with Irish. She's teaching us a little bit about mental health, as well as capping off with some wellness information. I'm really excited to be talking to her today. Once again, today, Weekly's Thrill is Mental Motivation. We're speaking with Irish. Yo, Irish, can you tell the people where they can find you, your social media, and things like that as well?
Yes. So my website is www.findyourwillwellness.com. My Instagram is @findyourwillwellness. Twitter is @findyourwill1. And I'm on LinkedIn. You can find me at Iris L. Mendez. Facebook @findyourwillwellness. And you can friend me at Iris L. Mendez.
Awesome. So that leads to go to my next question. I want your opinion on this as well. So when it comes to your mental health patients or just people who are dealing with, you know, the issue of mental health in general, do you or would you recommend taking some kind of prescription medicine or taking medicine in general?
If that is something that is prescribed by the doctor, like if a doctor is feeling that that's something that may help, I would say try it out. Definitely do your own research. Not too much. Fact check your research. I do have some clients who get anxiety over taking medication because that is something that is an adjustment. And, you know, you want to get as much information about it as possible. So I definitely always promote that empowerment of educating yourself on what it is that you're going to be, you know, consuming and putting into your body. But, you know, honestly, talk to your doctor, work with your doctor and figure out what's the best options for you. I'm not a doctor, so I can't, you know, I'm not prescribing that medication, but I'm not one to say, you know, I'm not against it in a sense. If that's something that may help you, you know, the brain is so complex that unfortunately we don't even understand it ourselves for our own individual selves. And so these people are trained to understand that there's certain chemical makeups and there's certain, you know, things going on in our brain that may need a little bit of assistance or that may be contributing to some of our behavior or some of our symptoms or some of our feelings. So I'm definitely not against it, but I would definitely say, you know, you do your research and, you know, educate yourself and speak up, talk to your doctor, talk to them.
Definitely. I agree with you. Definitely ask questions. Make sure you ask the right questions. If you scared to go by yourself, take someone who you trust that will ask the right questions. Definitely. I would agree with you on that one. Before we let you go today, Iris, if you can give one piece of advice to this millennial generation, because Revive is a millennial talk show. So if you can give one piece of advice to this millennial generation when it comes to mental health as well as wellness, what would that be? And if you have two different, you know, one for mental health, one for wellness, that would be great too.
I would say to definitely, as far as mental health goes, be aware of yourself. You know, we walk around with our heads in so many different screens nowadays. You know, you got your cell phones, you might have multiple gadgets that you tune into daily. Tune into yourself, you know, take time and spend time with yourself. Take a few minutes to literally just breathe, enjoy the environment, be present. Not be present online, but be present in your actual existence. And, you know, give yourself gratitude, appreciate that you even have, you know, the ability to be in this world and find your passion and make a difference with it.
Definitely, 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 Iris. And before I let you go, I'm sorry, one last question. Drop a book on us, Iris. Give us one book. Give us one book title and author that we can go, you know, do our research to help us when it comes to, you know, wellness and mental motivation and just motivation in general to get up and get started, even if it comes down to mental health. Give us one book, please.
Oh, just one?
Okay, well, you can drop some gems on us.
Oh, well, this is hard. I can't pick one. All right, so I'm going to go with the book I just recently read, The Tao of Pooh. It is by Benjamin Hoff, and that just tells you to just be one with yourself. And you know the character Winnie the Pooh back in the day, the cartoon, for those of us who used to watch it, he was always so, you know, botherless. And so the book kind of just helps us to understand a little bit more about just not letting things get to you and being in the moment. I have to throw in a second book, The Light Within Us All, Life Lessons Through Self-Discovery by Tyrone M. Robinson III. That's definitely a book that I would say is for the millennials. That book is not even a book that you need to read from front to back, but it has so many different topics on it, on life and self-love and just living your true passion and finding the light within yourself.
Awesome. Give me that one right back. I was taking my notes. I missed it. All I heard was Tyrone part. What's the actual title of it?
The Light Within Us All, Life Lessons Through Self-Discovery. And the author is Tyrone M. Robinson III.
Perfect. Thank you, Iris. We needed that. I was like, yeah, I got to ask her about some books first. I ain't trying to let her get off that easy. I need to go do my research. Definitely. Once again, Iris, before you go, tell the people where they can find you, your social media and things like that, so they can definitely network with you.
Yeah, so www.findyourwillwellness.com. Find me on Instagram at findyourwillwellness. The same for Facebook at findyourwillwellness. And if you want to get in contact with me, shoot me an email. You want to collaborate. You want to be a guest on OptiServe radio show. You need a speaker for something. Just contact me. Mental health consulting as well. Wellness coaching, all of that. It's at findyourwill. findyourwill@gmail.com.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. I hope you guys reach out to her, Iris. And once again, I thank you for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us. I'm definitely going to continue to network with you as well.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Hope to see you next Wednesday. See you.
Bye.
Bye. Yes, so that wraps up another weekly thrill. Mental motivation. Today we was pushing mental motivation with Iris Mendez. She's an incredible, incredible dope person who, you know, gives insight when it comes to wellness as well as mental health. So definitely check out her social networks as well as her webpage that she gave you guys. And also send her an email. If you're someone who needs a little bit of help or you need someone to talk to or some guidance, definitely send her an email. She's that person you guys need to talk to. Up next, we are going to have Tab Money Habits hosted by Tab Money. So make sure you guys stay tuned. I do not want you guys to miss this. She want to know if you guys out there did your homework. I want to know out there, did you guys do your homework? Once again, today is a winning Wednesday here on Revive. We will be giving away some free Revive gear. We're going to ask a question. Once I come back off this break, we're going to ask you guys a question to see if you guys actually did your homework. If you did your homework, definitely give us a call. 215-490-9832 or follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. Shout out to both Harmony the Goddess and True Heart for being in the studio and holding it down each and every Wednesday and each and every Sunday. Always, we're gonna be right back after this commercial break. You know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
Man, it is hot today. Whoa, it's hot out here, man. It is hot today.
Hey, Arnold! What does Martin Luther King Jr., Booker T. Washington, Langston Hughes, Oprah Winfrey, W.E.B. Du Bois, what do they all have in common? They all attended an HBCU.
This brother.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is my mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
And it's back with Meet Your Girl POC. We back on Revive right now. You know what time it is. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to tune in and download the app or just go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. And you hit Meet Your Girl POC live each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Make sure you guys follow the timeline on both Revive underscore POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, that is Revive underscore POC on both Facebook and Twitter. Yo, True Heart, while you here, go ahead and get your shout out so everybody know where to find higher level communication. Shout out to you in that live video you did with Self Care Sunday. Definitely go ahead and tell the people where they can find you.
Good evening, everyone. This is your girl, True Heart, coming to you live on Revive. Be sure to follow higher level communication on all social networks, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So on Instagram and Facebook, just type in higher level communication, and on Twitter, higher level com, that's higher level COMM, and I'll be back with the Truth Series live on Revive this upcoming Sunday, so stay tuned.
Yo, we gotta get some Twitter fingers like Donald Trump. This man gives, like a million retweets a day. What I gotta do to get them Twitter fingers like him, man? He got so much attention to his page. That's because he's a tweeting president or something. I don't know, but I'm trying to get those Twitter fingers like Trump. He up like 7 o'clock in the morning, like, how am I going to surprise the world today? How am I going to shock these people? We, air quotes, we the people again, man. It is something going on up in that White House that I don't want to know nothing about. Like, I'm scared right now. I'm like, yo, just give us a week without, you know, dropping a bomb on us. Give us something right now, because that Donald Trump administration is scary, bruh. It is really, really scary.
It's literally like a black hole. Like, you honestly don't know what's going to come next, because we're literally just falling deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the black hole.
Definitely. And then he talking about the Attorney General Jeff Sessions. He need to go ahead and resign. I'm like, yo, wasn't that just your man about a week ago? He like, nah, you gotta go. You keep letting this intelligence leak, and it's coming back on me and my family, because my son is now in hot water because of you allowing these intelligence to leak. I'm like, yo, they about to start snitching on each other over there. And that's how you know it's gonna get real, when they start snitching on each other and pointing them fingers, when they know they all wrong. They know they all been lying. They know they all like just out here being crooks and evil and conniving, and now it's coming to the forefront, and Donald Trump gotta save his son. So what he gonna do? Is he gonna be the president, or is he gonna be a dad? That's a really big question I want to know the answer to. Is he gonna be the president and say, you know what, he's wrong, he needs to be, you know, he needs to be punished like every other American if they were to do something like that? Or is he gonna be a dad and try to save his son at this point? I really want to know the answer to that question. Make sure you guys are also subscribing to the Revive newsletter. Subscribe to the Revive newsletter right now. If you scroll down right under that big blue button where you click the press play to hear me talk live, it's a button right under there that says subscribe. Click that link and go fill in those blanks. All we need is your email address. We're not trying to spam you. We just want to get you guys to know what's going on with the Revive platform, upcoming events, different things like that. Yo, True Heart just found another tweet. They going at it today. This Trump family crazy.
It's really, really crazy. Like, they literally are mind-blowing. a month ago, June 1st, 2017, Ivanka tweets, "I am proud to support my LGBTQ friends and the LGBTQ Americans who have made immense contributions to our society and economy." And everybody is coming for her like, "No, fam, check with your dad, because that's clearly not a family trend." It's wild out here. You know, Black Twitter finds everything because we always have receipts. Don't tweet it out if you don't want it to be publicized.
Talk about it. Talk, yo, go put that out. We're going to tweet that too, so we can get our little thread talk, get our little thread popping. Definitely go tweet that out, because Ivanka over there tripping. So it's like, you, how do you take up for your father at this point? You know what I'm saying? How do you not make yourself look stupid? Because that's exactly what you look like. But we are going to get into this Tab Money habits right now. Shout out to Tab Money. She is not in the studio with us right now, but she did leave something for us. She is actually on, I don't know if she's going to call it, but she is. She called it a vacation. This is her first vacation of the year, as she calls it. So she's on vacation right now, but she still did her part to leave us with some, you know, some, a piece of her radinar, as she's calling it. I'm in love with that title, that radinar, that educate, that generational wealth retinar that she put together for us here on Revive. So we're about to go ahead and drop that Tab Money clip for you guys. But my question of the day to win this Revive gear, my question of the day is, if you did your homework and you read the book, how much did he say you're supposed to save for yourself? What is the percentage that you're supposed to save for yourself? Let's talk about it here on Revive. Give us a call, 215-490-9832. It's your man Tab Money with Tab Money Habits.
What it do, what it do, what it do, y'all. It's Tab Money coming to you live in the CBE studio. I had to do a recording for y'all because right now I am in Cancun, Mexico, on a girls trip. I'm gonna talk about the movie. Talk about the group message. All right, so let's get into it. So first things first, today's episode is paying yourself first. Paying yourself first. Number one rule, saving 10% of all your earnings and not touching it. If you did your homework 2 weeks ago, you would have read The Richest Man in Babylon, and you would have knew the moral of the story was to save 10% of all your earnings. The factors that go into paying yourself first: keeping it somewhere where you cannot touch it, somewhere where you cannot see it. Keeping it somewhere where your money is making money while you sleep. That's the goal, for our money to work for us, not that we work for our money. We need to keep it somewhere separate from our checking account. We need to let someone hold it if we are not responsible to hold it for ourselves. I know I hold POC savings. If she need any of her savings money, she'll call me, tell me her justification, and yeah, I'll make that transfer happen for her. Only if it's a justifiable reason. And we can also keep it old school, like The Richest Man in Babylon. We could save it in a safe, in our treasure chest, in our shoebox, under the mattress. But you got to be responsible for those. And along with being responsible, as far as like saving in your home, you got to know that the most important part where I say you got to be responsible is because you cannot touch it. You cannot spend it. You cannot touch it. You should not even look at it. I do want to be clear that paying yourself first does not mean treating yourself to the movies, treating yourself to some new shoes or clothes or makeup or anything material or tangible. Paying yourself first means to save your money and do not touch it, unless it's time to invest or unless it's an emergency. That's what paying yourself first means. You just want to treat yourself. Nah, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about literally saving your money, not touching it. Along with paying yourself first, the next saving habits that we have is having multiple savings accounts. I need you to save your loose change. I need you to keep them in jars, piggy banks, all around the house. I need you to have a savings accounts for your house. I need you to have a savings accounts for your car. I need you to have a savings accounts for your babies and your children. I need you to have a savings accounts for your investments. We save to invest. Again, we save to invest. That's the purpose of savings. The purpose of saving is to invest and also to have a safety net in emergency situations. PLC, Trueheart, I got a quick question for y'all. What are potential emergency situations in your life? What are potential emergency situations in your life? Let's play.
Yo, she not even here and she giving us homework. Definitely. So emergency situations in my life, yo, I cannot live without my car. So because my commute from work to back, yo, I need my car. So an emergency situation for me that I will dip all the way into my savings will be my car, because I got thousands of places to be at one time and public transportation just cannot work out for me right now. Yo, Trueheart, what's your answer?
I would honestly say your living situation. Like if you just have a major leak and say your toilet overflows, just for example, and then you have a big hole in your ceiling, then you have to repair it. So I think your living situation is key. I was going to say car, but then I'm like, no, I need to lay my head somewhere every night. So I would definitely say your living situation and having to deal, whether it's a leak, whether it's your washer and dryer breaking, just something in the house that's out of whack that you have to fix.
Don't get to faking like you never slept in a car before. We all slept in a car before. Not saying people want to live out their car, but if anything goes down, at least you got a car and you can sleep in it. You know what I'm saying? Just in case it rains or something, you got a little cover over your head. No, you're not thinking like that? It's just me? Okay, it's just me. I love my car, so I want to make sure my four wheels is on the ground each and every day.
True. I'm gonna let that ride. I'm going to let that ride.
All right, let's get back to this 10 money habit.
Plan for this rest. Let's talk about it. All right, so the next saving habit we're going to get into is operating off of a percentage of your income. My man Eric Thomas, shout out to Eric Thomas, ET, the hip-hop preacher, number one mentor in my life. He recommends that we operate on, this is what he did, not for we, because he only for the strong and the people who are willing to breathe as hard as they want to succeed. So he, for himself, how he got successful was that he operated off of 30% of his income. Again, 30%. So that leaves you 70%. You either paying your big bills or you saving majority of it or all of it in his case. So let's break it down. We operate on 30% of our income. We get paid every 2 weeks. We get paid $30,000 a year. And we break in the math down. We get paid $577 a week. We get paid $1,154 every 2 weeks. And we get paid $2,500 a month. So 30% times $1,154 is $346.20. That's how much we can operate on for 2 weeks. $346.20. So that means we potentially saving $807.80. Do you think we can budget $346.20 for 2 weeks? PLC, Trueheart.
I'm gonna say maybe. I don't know. Yeah, I'm about to say she gotta be here to ask that question, because I got some more questions to know how to answer that question, if that makes sense. Because I'm very good at saving, because she is my sister. You know what I'm saying? She got me right. She keep my 10 toes down. But it's really crazy, you know what I'm saying, when it comes to, you know, $20 here, $20, because it really be adding up. It definitely really be adding up. So I'm gonna wait till she get here to answer that question, because I want to make sure I'm answering it correctly. But let's get back to this tab money habits.
All right, so I got activities for us. All right, so activity number one, using multiple savings accounts, we're going to create a pie chart dispersing out $807.80. I'm going to break down what my multiple savings accounts would be if I was saving this amount. I would pay myself 10%. I would have my housing savings accounts, like housing investment savings accounts for housing and land. I would do that 20%. I will have my entrepreneurship money for all my entrepreneurship ventures. I will also save 20% for that. My life insurance policy, I'm also putting 20% into there. And then my IRA, I'm doing a Roth IRA. I'm going to get into that in a whole nother episode. But I'm putting 20% in my Roth IRA. And then I'm saving 10% for my next generation. So that's how I would break down my multiple savings accounts, dispersing my $800.07. I'm going to give you a few seconds, a few minutes to take some time of how you would budget your $800. PLC True Heart, let me know your thoughts. All right, so activity number two. We're going to budget this $346 because we got to make it work for two weeks. This is our goals. We set it to it, and we're going to stick with it. So we got to make it work, $300 for 2 weeks. I know for myself, I got to make that work. All right, so this is how I broke it down for myself. For my transportation, I need $60 for 2 weeks. I'm the type, I ride the bus, I walk, I get on the metro. For food, I'm doing $100 for 2 weeks. And it can really be less than that because I'm straight vegetables with it. For my bills, I say we a student. I got basic bills, so like I'm just doing paying my student loans back. I got a phone bill. I may gotta pay for a rent somewhere for a room. So I'm gonna say my bills is $76 for 2 weeks. Breaking it down, maybe like $200 for the month, but the way I break it down and pay my bills is $76 for 2 weeks. My leisure activities going out, I got $20 for 2 weeks. I ain't going nowhere. I know if I got to save my money, another good saving habit is to stay in the house. For my vices include like my beer, my alcohol, my liquor, my cannabis. I got $50 on it. And again, we keeping it at 100. We gonna keep it being real with myself is that I know I'm gonna spend my money on those things. So I gotta set a realistic budget as well. And I know that will last me for 2 weeks. My spending money for my miscellaneous purchases, I'm gonna have $40 for 2 weeks. I'm really not gonna leave the house that much. Unless I'm going to and from work, or if I'm going to work out, or if I'm meeting up networking with some folks, I don't really need too much money going here and there because I got my food on deck. I'm packing my lunch. I'm packing my snacks. I got water. I don't really need to buy nothing when I'm out. $40 can hold me down. And again, since we got that leftover 20 cents, and one of our saving habits for the multiple savings accounts is to save our loose change, I'm going to pay myself again, and I'm going to save that 20 cents, and I'm going to put it in a piggy bank, which is like a jar. Or, yeah, I got multiple piggy banks sitting around the house for all change. So the 20 cents is I'm going to pay myself again. And then I got a quick question for PLC and True Heart.
And we are back live right now on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. You can also go download the app on TuneIn or just search TuneIn.com, and you will hear Meet Your Girl PLC live on the airwaves from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. each and every winning Wednesday, and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Definitely. I'm sorry for everyone who was tuned into the Tab Money Habits that we had to cut it short, but we do have our next guest here on the line as well on the Revive platform. Make sure you guys subscribe to the Revive newsletter so you can stay in tune with Tab Money and all the tips that she gives out for the Tab Money Habits segment. So definitely stay tuned to that. She will be back on the second Wednesday in August. So definitely stay tuned to that. We're also going to play that again. We're going to play that back for you at the end of the show. But we do have our next guest coming on the Revive platform. I'm really excited. He's in the fashion world. He's really, really dope. I looked up his clothing line to see what he's putting out there for the people. The message that he has behind his clothing line is very, very powerful. And I'm extremely excited to have him on the Revive platform tonight. And he's from Philadelphia as well. So Philly, stand up. You got some people coming out your city that's making some noise, definitely. So Truar, who do you have coming on the Revive platform?
Up next on the Revive platform, we have Troy Atkins. Troy Atkins was born and raised in the uptown section of Philadelphia, PA. Troy's fashion journey began after the tragic passing of a longtime friend and supporter. He attended a local event in a leather custom Volaire shirt, paying homage to his brawny brother. Soon after, everyone began inquiring about the brand, and soon after, his pieces were born. A well-dressed boardroom hustler took a conscious and innovative approach to the practically non-existing big and tall fashion industry in early 2015. The aesthetic of the brand is clean-cut silhouettes with the influence of the streets. Troy Atkins, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hi, Troy. How are you doing today? Welcome to Revive.
How are you doing?
I'm excited to have you on the show today, Troy. How are you feeling today? I know you pumped up and geared and ready for your show that's coming up on Saturday, right?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Is this your first show that you're putting on in Philly?
Yes. I was in Philly Fashion Week before, but this actually is my own show that I'm having.
Awesome. And so go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself before we get started. I know she wrote out the bio, but can't nobody tell you about you like you, right? So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself.
My name is Troy Atkins. I'm from Philadelphia. I just started my clothing line. I will be having my launch July 29th at Fisher Park. I've been doing my clothing line for about 2 years now. So, yeah, that sums it up.
What's the name of the clothing line?
Valari.
How did you come up with that name? Valari, right?
Yeah, Valari means fly in French.
Okay. You got a little tasteful on them. I see, Troy. So what made you go in that direction, though?
Well, you know, when I was in school, everybody always called me the fly big guy. So I stuck with that. So, I tried to figure, put a clothing line together that, represents how I dress and all that.
Awesome. So what made you appeal to that big and tall section that, is really, really slight when you walk into these department stores? You don't really see too much going on in the big and tall section. So what made you go say, I'm about to change it all around. I'm about to put something in the game that not many people know about. What made you go ahead and do that?
Well, actually, I'm big and tall myself. So, it was always hard for me to find clothes for myself, and I like to get dressed. So I said, I would like to, style big guys, try to find something good. Clothes for bigger guys.
Definitely. So I got a question for you. That whole title of big and tall, do people still like that? Do people still go for that anymore? Or is it another way that you can say it without, that make it sound a little bit more sexier?
No, that's it. It's just big and tall.
Just straight like that, big and tall?
Yes. Uh-huh.
So what kind of clothes do you actually put out there for the people?
All types of clothes. I have jeans, jackets, golf shirts, button-up shirts. Jackets, all types, suits, everything.
When you first started, was it handmade? Are you still, making the clothes with love? Like, how are you getting them to distribute?
Well, I work with a sketch artist now, and then I take it to my manufacturer, and my manufacturer produces the clothes for me.
Definitely. So when you started, did you start out in that entrepreneur mindset? How did you actually say, you know what, this is what I want to do. This is my 9-to-5. This is what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. How did you get that mindset going?
Well, when everybody around me always said I had an eye for fashion. So, you know, about a couple of years ago, I just started taking it serious. And then, you know,
I'm sorry, Troy, you was fading out a little bit. I'm not sure if you lost signal. What were you saying?
Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Your cell phone was going out a little bit. What were you saying?
Oh, okay. Oh, I said, what was the question again?
How did you get started in that entrepreneur mindset?
Oh, everybody always said I had an eye for fashion. So, you know, what I did was I just started taking it serious about 2 years ago. That's when I decided to be an entrepreneur.
Definitely. And what was that first step that you made? What was that first step to say, like, yo, this is me. This is what I want to do.
I actually had to meet a customer that passed. So, you know, everybody liked it. You know, everybody was like, oh, you should start, you know, doing clothing line, your own clothing line. So I thought about it for a little bit. And then I just started, you know, making pieces and stuff like that.
Awesome. Do you do, like, jewelry, too? Do you get the men fly with the men accessories?
No, not yet. I haven't hit that market yet.
Okay, definitely. So I have a question. So you are talking to a millennial audience, right? So how has social media impacted your business and the growth of your business as well?
I have got a lot of feedback from a lot of big guys. So, I mean, that's been good. They've been inspiring me to go harder with it, you know. So there's been a lot of support behind it.
Awesome. So do you feel as though in the age of social media that is helping you or it's hurting you when it comes to the expansion of your business?
I think it's helped me a lot. I think social media has a big impact on what I'm doing.
How is it helping you? Go ahead and explain that for us.
Just the feedback I'm getting from, you know, big guys, you know, they don't have any fashion or any swag. So it's like, you know, I'm bringing that to them. And, you know, we always, big guys are always left out. So, you know, it's making them feel, you know, important, giving them some swag.
Definitely. I can dig that one. Definitely. Give them some swag. Definitely. So when it came down to you being that entrepreneur and jumping out there and making your own clothing line, right? You know, that old saying that they always say you have to spend money to make money. Was that the case for you when you first jumped out there?
Yes, I have spent a lot of money on this clothing line. I mean, it's a good, you know, like I said, I got a good feedback on everybody. So, I mean, I know the money's going to come back.
Definitely. It got to, right? It got to come back, especially when you're putting your all into it, your heart into it. It's going to come back. So that leads into my next question, though, Troy. How do you get, you're speaking to a millennial audience, you know, again. So, you know, we're coming up and we're trying to get, you know, that entrepreneur mindset. We're trying to branch off and, you know, create our own businesses and create our own lanes, right? The one question that, or the one thing that always remains a question for us is, how do we get our friends and our family to support us? Like, how do we get them people to double tap our page or to promote this shirt or to promote this brand or whatever we may be trying to do at this time? What would be the advice that you would give to us on how to get people who are supposed to be your loved ones to support you?
Just to stay positive, you know, keep working on it, you know, like, no matter how much, like, don't get discouraged. But, you know what I mean? So, you know.
Definitely. So just don't get discouraged and keep it moving.
Right.
Definitely. I'm with that one. So go ahead. So I do want to talk a little bit about Saturday. So go ahead and tell us what we should, you know, see and expect when we arrive to Fisher Park on Saturday.
Well, the theme is No Fear, No Hate. We have a lot behind the No Fear, No Hate, just being the only person in Philadelphia that has a big and tall line. You know, and all the hate that we received, you know, just doing this line, you know what I mean? So, you'd be receiving, like, we have VIP.
I also heard that you guys are going to have a little red carpet situation out there as well. And you're going to be doing some one-on-one interviews with the people. Who are you expecting to be in the audience on Saturday?
We have a couple celebrities coming out. That's a surprise right now, so... You know, everybody got to come out and see, you know, who's coming.
Definitely. And what is one expectation that you have by this being your first show in your hometown, your home city? What is that one expectation that you have for self?
I just want it to be a good show, you know, just be a good show and good vibes.
Are you going to give us a little walk down the runway, Troy? Are you going to show us a little bit of your skills, your moves?
No,
we ain't going to get to see. We're not going to see how you moving, Troy?
No.
Not this time, but next time, though, right? Next time, right?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, definitely. And then also, I was told that you're dropping some women's clothing items as well. What inspired you to go into the women's clothing?
Because the ladies kept asking me, so, you know, I just gave them something, you know, just put out there.
Definitely. And what kind of creative genius did you have to go into to tap in to find out, you know, what would you want to see a lady in, or what would you want to see your woman in when it came to putting on, you know, your clothes, Troy? What was that one creative being you had to tap into, or did you have to go have a bunch of different conversations with a bunch of different
women? I actually have a sport line, so, you know, I want to see my lady in spandex, you know, so I did like a sport line for the women.
Okay, I could dig it. I'm definitely going to be there, and I'm going to check that out, definitely. So one more time, if you can go ahead and tell us the address, where we can find it, how we can get some tickets, anything like that, go ahead and drop that for them so the people can know.
Oh, so the fashion show is July 29th and Saturday. It will be at Fisher Park, 571 5th and Spencer. You can go online, Eventbrite, and tap on Valari's Fashion Show. And that's it.
Perfect. Somebody on Twitter actually asked me, how do you spell that? And I don't want to spell it wrong. So go ahead and spell it for me, Troy.
V-O-L-A-R-E. And our website is Valari Menswear. V-O-L-A-R-E menswear.com. And that's our Instagram, too.
Awesome. And are you going to be dropping something new when it comes to the men's line as well on Saturday?
Yes.
Awesome. So what is that?
New.
Are you going to tell us here, or we got to wait till we get there on Saturday?
You got to wait till you get there Saturday.
Awesome. And you didn't tell us how we can get tickets. How can we get tickets to this event?
Eventbrite. Just go on Eventbrite and go under Valari Men's Fashion Show, and you will find it on Eventbrite.
And how much the tickets going? So I can tell the people on
the
my timeline.
Regular admission is $25 and the VIP is $50.
Perfect. I want to thank you once again, Troy, for coming onto the Revive platform today. It was an amazing time talking with you and speaking with you. Thank you for motivating us to, you know, step out there and being an entrepreneur ourselves to make sure, you know, we follow our dreams and things like that. I do appreciate you once again, and I definitely will see you Saturday.
All right. Thank you.
No doubt.
Bye-bye.
So that was Troy Atkins with Valora Fashion. I'm really excited to know what's going to go down at Fisher's Park here in the city of Philadelphia on Saturday. He got some celebrities coming out. He's going to be dropping a women's collection, as well as some new gems for the men's collection, the big and tall section. Yo, Trueheart, you buying your man something about the big and tall section? What's up? What you got for him?
I'm just interested in the sports career, so I'm excited to see what he's releasing.
Me too. I'm trying to see where he's going. We're going to be down there on the red carpet doing some media and covering that. So I'm definitely excited to see what we're going to see and, you know, who's actually going to come out and participate, and also just to support this guy. You know what I mean? He's out here trying to do something for himself. He's trying to start a business. Hopefully he creates generational wealth with it, as Tab was talking about on Tab Money Habits. Once again, I do apologize that Tab Money Habits cut off. We are going to play that back at the end of the show. So definitely stay tuned. Do not go anywhere, because we want to play that back for you guys. I do apologize. Shout out to Tab Money. Once again, follow her on Twitter at Tab Money. Also, you can follow her on Twitter and Facebook, and also Instagram at CBE Lifestyle. Once again, and then also shout out to College Bound Entertainment as well for hooking us up with the platform as always. And if you want to listen to any pre-recorded episodes of Revive, you can definitely check it out at cbelifestyle.com, or you can check out the pre-recorded episodes once you subscribe to the Revive newsletter, if you know what I mean. You can subscribe to the Revive newsletter, and you can go get that pre-recorded link, and you can click on it, and you can check out all the shows that we have done here so far. Also, make sure you guys go follow us on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POC. We want to know what you guys are thinking. Please, you know, send us a text message, send us the email. I said send us a text message, send us a DM, my bad. Slide in our DMs real quick. Go ahead and follow us so you can know and stay in the loop on what's going on here on Revive. We are going to go to a quick commercial break before our next weekly thrill guest comes onto the Revive platform. We was earlier talking about that transgender situation that Donald Trump just jumped. We were talking about that transgender situation that Donald Trump dropped on us this morning at 8:55. I'm clocking the timeline now. I literally, like, when I go through my morning routine, I do all I got to do to make sure I get out the house on time and get to work. As soon as I get to work, the first thing I'm doing is like, yo, what is Donald Trump talking about today? And the thing about it, I have a question for you guys, and I want to know you guys' answer to this question. How are you guys retaining your information? How are you guys getting that daily news that you're looking for, that daily news feed that you should be looking for to educate yourself? How are you now getting that? Are you getting that through social media? Are you getting that through the radio? Are you getting that through literally watching the news on TV? Are you reading a newspaper? Are you just getting it from word of mouth? How are you getting that information? How are you retaining that information? I want to know the answer to that. Yo, I should start a poll on Twitter. I'm going to start a pool on Twitter. I'm going to do that tomorrow morning. Get ready for this Revive pool on Twitter because I want to know the answer to that. I'm going to do that right after this Comments with Consciousness starting at 7:30 a.m. Take your morning commute with me. Definitely. I know it's early, people, but you got to get up. You got to get right. When you on that treadmill and Planet Fitness, LA Fitness in the morning, you know what I'm saying? Watch your girl POC because I'm take that morning commute with me because I'm trying to educate and re-educate the people each and every time I get on the airways or each and every time I get a platform to speak with you guys. Yesterday, I went off. On Instagram yesterday. I went off on Instagram yesterday. I was feeling some type of way. I was mad at my generation because all I could see on my timeline was that new app, that new game that came out, the Sahara. What is it? Come on, give me right. Sahara. True Heart. You playing that game? You playing that game?
No, thank you.
You never played that game? Yo, but it bring me back to like 2-3 years ago when it was something, right?
Yeah, but it was on Twitter. So they had like the ask.fm, I think that's what it's called. And you can ask questions anonymously. And then now it's on Instagram. So nothing is new, honestly. History always repeats itself, especially in the generation that we're living in. But I have colleagues and friends that are doing it, but I just choose not to. And if you have a question, honestly, just grow some balls and ask the question in person. Or if you know the person, hit them up. Slide in their DMs. At least they know who you are and it's not anonymous. Or just hit them up. Call them. Text them. Do anything. If you have a question, people over here are like, oh, I really had a crush on you. You're going to say that anonymously? No, fam. Just slide in her DMs. Slide in his DMs. Or just get their number and do it that way. I don't know. That's just me, but I work with teenagers and they think I'm old, so.
No, I'm old too, because it's not just you. I'm all the way not with it. I'm all the way not with it. I think that is the dumbest thing that ever happened. And then it doesn't make any sense because all it does is resonates to the next app and it resonates to the next social media because it's like they will post it on that app or whatever, right? And then they will screenshot it and put it on Instagram or Twitter so everyone can read what someone asked them. So how is that still anonymous? How is that still anonymous? How is that still like a secret? Because at the end of the day, you're still putting your questions out there with the answers that you answered it with. So I'm just so confused.
I think that people ask you questions or like make statements. I don't know.
Yeah, but then they answer the question on other social media. So they will screenshot it. They screenshot so that will be it. Their picture and then their caption yeah. will be the answer to the question. So it makes no sense.
Well, maybe she's doing it wrong then. Because it's just like she responding to the comments. I don't know. I don't really care. I'm not doing it. So, yeah.
And you were telling me when we were talking about an earlier situation that happened some time ago when you were at ESU about when they was first doing the anonymous thing. What happened that you say you experienced there?
So we were doing protests, just to protest and combat police brutality. Not only protest about it, but also raise awareness about it. And I went to PWI, which is a predominantly white institution, for those of you who do not know. And with that, there's an app called Yik Yak, and the spewing of hate and racism that took place on that app, but people thought that they can hide behind. I think the Yik Yak was like, I think honestly that was the icon for the app. It was a, I don't know, it was a little brown animal, but people thought they can hide behind that icon, and that's really not the case. If you have things to say, I just feel like say it in person, especially if you're going to spew hatred. So it was just too much. We took it to our administration. I was the vice president of student government. Don't try me. Thank you.
Yeah, it can definitely get real on those kind of apps like that. And that, I honestly just don't like it. And I also think that that's how, you know, things start. That's how you lure people into different things, because now you think it's anonymous, and the next you know you're taking it to a whole nother level. Next you know you really sliding into somebody's DM, sending pictures and all the other crap and being catfished. It's just so much that can really just happen with those, you know what I mean? So many different things that can really just happen with those I'm gonna call it stupid apps. Like, I just really am not a fan of those. And it's so much for us to be worried about. It's so much for us to actually be paying attention to and make sure that we're not distracted by that. I don't understand why we keep, like, yesterday, for example, people were so gung-ho on this app that they paid no attention to the fact that John McCain came out of his hospital bed. He, like, literally came out of his hospital bed to speak and talk on the Senate floor to talk about how he wants to repeal and replace Obamacare, the same man who beat him for the presidency. So you see what I'm saying? So at the same time, it's so much that we need to pay attention to. You guys are over there worried about who has a crush on you anonymously, people who can't even speak up and tell you they have a crush on you when you're not even about to have health care, or your grandma or your grandfather who has a pre-existing condition is not about to have health care, or your dad who just came out the military, God forbid he's a transgender at this point, he's not going to get any health care either. So you guys are so distracted, and you continuously allow society to distract you with these BS kind of games and applications and social media efforts that it really is taken to the next level. And then you have the question, and then you want to question Donald Trump, like, yo, why is he on Twitter doing X, Y, and Z? Because that's where the attention is. That's where you guys are allowing everything to go down on social media. Social media is huge. Like, social media at this point is going to be the internet at one point. I think at one point, social media is going to take over and literally solid be the internet. I know we still need search engines and things like that, but people, when you get on, it's not going to be like a Google browser, a Yahoo browser. It's going to be a Facebook browser. It's going to be literally like a Twitter browser, going to be the first thing that pops up when you click the E or you click the Chrome button, because that's what people want. That's what the people want to see. So if you can continuously distract them with it, why not keep it going and make more money off of it, and just throw a little advertisement in it once or twice and get a little change off of it? Because if you think about it, social media is free. Everything you do on social media is absolutely free. When you expose yourself, when you give yourself away, when you feel like you want to, you know, take a picture of your baby changing, you know, you changing your baby's diaper, you now exposing your child, all of that is given up for free. You're now giving up your life story for free. When you go to these different concerts and you show me the entire concert, thank you, I appreciate you. Now I can save $50, even though you just spent $50 to go to the concert and you're not even watching it because you're so busy trying to make sure that you got the perfect angle for me to watch. Like, let's talk about it, really. But that's why we're going to sit here and talk about with this next guest, who is our weekly throw guest coming up. His name is Kevin Tarr. He is an actual app designer. He creates apps. So I think that this is a perfect segue into speaking with him today, especially with all the, you know, everything that's going on when it comes to the distractions of technology and things like that. And that's why I wanted to talk to him today. He's a millennial out here getting it and grinding and growing for what is his. I'm extremely excited to talk to him today. Y'all, Trueheart, who do we have coming on the Revive platform?
On the Revive platform, we have Kevin Tarr. Kevin is an entrepreneur and self-taught mobile developer that builds virtual reality and augmented reality apps for the iPhone and Android mobile devices. He is the head of his own technology company, Nerd Inventions LLC, where he programs and codes his mobile apps. So far, he has built 3 apps for the iPhone, hashtag CinemaVR, an immersive social media movie theater experience in virtual reality, Zenith VR, a virtual reality first-person shooter video game in outer space, and Zoobler, a 2D retro critical thinking video game in outer space. Kevin Tarr is a graduate of Clark Atlanta University, where he obtained his bachelor's degree, and Columbia University, where he attained his master's degree. He speaks Spanish and is currently teaching himself French and Russian. Mr. Kevin Tarr, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm excited to be speaking with you. Yo, Kevin, I'm about to send you some of them Donald Trump emails. Can you go ahead and, you know, read them back to me? It's definitely teaching yourself.
Listen, man, I plead the fifth on anything government related. I'm not a hacker, man.
I'm with it all the way. You got to teach me some Russia, though, definitely, because I need to know what they're talking about. Kevin, it's coming down to it, and if you don't know how to, you know, actually read it, you're going to be screwed. So I might be calling you real soon, really, really soon.
I'll teach you a little bit of Babruski. I'll teach you a little bit of Russian, man.
I'm with it. Definitely, I'm with it. But, Kevin, can't nobody tell us about you like you can tell us about you. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Are you sure? You guys did a pretty good job with the introduction. my name is Kevin Tarr, as you guys said. I am a self-taught mobile programmer. I build apps for the iPhone, particularly virtual reality and augmented reality apps. I'm an entrepreneur as well. You know, I have my own business, my own technology company, where I do that. I build apps full time for clients as well as my own enterprises. Just recently graduated from Columbia University. During my time at Columbia University, I started to teach myself how to code off of YouTube, off of the internet, and off of tutorials I saw on the internet. And I got really into it just because of my knack for technology, my love for technology. I realized that all of us consume technology at a point to where we're dependent upon it. We're not even using it. We're dependent upon it for everything. It's ubiquitous. Yet so few of us know how to create technology. So, that was my inspiration to go learn how to code, and also just realizing how financially fruitful a lot of apps that we use every day, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Candy Crush, how financially fruitful these apps have become for the people that do create them, people who do know how to code. So that inspired me, you know, to learn how to build apps and go into technology.
Yo, Kevin, you are mad decent for that. You watched YouTube and you learned how to code? Really?
Yeah, that's the case. I mean,
you make it seem like it's easy.
I make it sound like, well, I mean, like, I actually went to school. I didn't go to school for computer science. Like, to this day, I have yet to take a formal computer programming class. I went to school for journalism, surprisingly. So, me learning how to code was just, like, me, a desire to, like, really, really test, like, my intelligence and really teach myself something really, really complicated that I actually love, which is technology, you know? So, and I feel like I've done a reasonable job so far with the apps I've created, with me building apps.
So you got your undergrad in journalism?
Yeah, undergrad, and I went to Columbia for journalism as well. I learned how to program on the side as I was doing my master's at Columbia.
Yo, Kevin, you know that's like a whole nother world, right?
Oh, yeah. It's Pluto versus Earth. Yeah, I understand.
Oh, my God. So when it come down to you know, the thousands of dollars you now have spent on your education versus to the hours of just spending on your laptop and weighing the difference, how do you feel about that?
I feel great, man. Well, I mean, you know, I think people may look at it like negatively, like, you know, you went to school for this, but yet you do this. I mean, but I think it all weighs out for me, right? Because I think going to school and getting accepted somewhere, I mean, I already had, like, you know, my intellectual self-esteem was already, you know, was good. I don't think it was as great as or as high as it is now, but it was at a decent place, you know. I think getting into somewhere like Columbia and Clark Atlanta, it really gave me assurance that, you know, okay, you know, you're able, you're smart, you're able to do this, you know. It gave me a lot of intellectual self-esteem, so that gave me some foundation, you know, because like I said, I already had foundation and belief in myself, but it gave me a lot more. It added more concrete to my belief in myself to do something extraordinary. So I was like, okay, you know, what's next? You know, let me go. Instead of me being complacent with like a degree and trying to get a job, I'm like, wait, what else can I do? You know, if I could, like, let's try to make, you know, my college degree seem small compared to what I do with the rest of my life, you know? So like, let's try to build like virtual reality apps, you know, now that we got to Columbia, Columbia's nothing. Let's try to make it look minuscule compared to what we do now, you know? So I think it plays hand in hand. I don't think that it's a negative where like, oh, you know, you went to school for journalism and then you did something different. I think a lot of the intelligence, a lot of fundamental critical thinking that I have, going to school and studying something like journalism can actually ironically be applied to, you know, coding and programming and having a general curiosity to learn something new. I think that's something that schools provide.
I love it, Kevin. I'm big ups to you. I'm on your side with that one. That's because I really honestly truly feel like you don't know what you want to do until you get out of school anyway. That's when you start to find yourself and walk into your purpose. So I'm really, really on your side with that one. That's amazing. That's a story right there, Kevin. That's definitely a story. But I have a question, though. So as you're transitioning into from journalism into creating apps and coding and things like that, what is the biggest obstacle you have faced so far?
Biggest obstacle I would say is okay, well, see, the obstacle that I faced when I first started, the obstacles that I face now are different. Do you want me to talk about obstacles when I first started or the obstacles like now I face?
When you first started your transition,
it was learning how to code. You know, because I took it, you know, I took the hard route, you know, like most people, when they want to go learn how to code, they go to school for it, or they go to a coding boot camp, or they have an instructor, or they go to a program, you know, because let's face it, coding can be, you know, a pretty mentally intense task. It can be very monotonous and very challenging and mentally stressful. So usually people have people to guide them and walk them through how to understand how to code. Me doing it by myself and trying to be Superman, it became more challenging, you know, for me to learn how to code and transition. I never had any exposure to it at all. But I think, it was divine. It was, you know, serendipitous that way. It was great that way, that it worked out that way, because me teaching myself, you know, I understood things more fluently. You know, it's like I didn't have anybody to walk me through like the forest, you know, I had to make my own way. And, you know, I'm that much more fluent, or I'm that much more knowledgeable, you know, I'm that much more understanding of it. I'm not limited to like the system of school of like saying, you know, don't do this or don't do that. Because I have no exposure, nobody walked me through coding or anything like that. I don't see any limits. So, you know, I fall down and make mistakes, and I usually mess up. I learn and I get back up and I can fix things, and I'm much more self-sufficient. I'm much more self-sustainable. I'm not dependent on a book, you know. Okay. I'm much more, you know, diligent, and much more, expertise in my own right, because I had to teach a lot of things to myself. I didn't have somebody to correct me when I was wrong. I had to do it myself. So that made me understand it, the concepts a lot, much more stronger and much more fluently.
Self-taught, definitely. So then that means no one can really question you either, because at the same time you're doing it the way you do it. You know what I mean? You're not doing it the way that someone taught you to do it. Someone asks you how you get it done, you would explain it, you know, directly from your words and from your mouth and how you feel from your brain. Definitely. So I think that's an amazing feeling.
Exactly. It's like I don't have to tell you to go to page 255 exactly. This textbook. Yeah. You know, I can explain it very fluently from my own experience on how to create a for loop if statement, or how to, you know, create a pow function or whatever. I can explain it, you know, in my own words and show you code that I've read. I don't have to go through, you know, the textbook to do that. So yes, that, it helps to self-teach yourself.
Definitely. What are some of the apps that you have created so far? Like, I know she named a few in the bio, but what are some of the apps that you created so far? And like, give us a little bit of a description so we can understand fully.
Okay, so the first app I created was Zoobler. The first app I created that got into the App Store, I created a Hello World app just to like to teach myself how to code when I was learning. But the first app that I created that got accepted by Apple is called Zoobler. It's like a retro video game in outer space. It's very influenced by Pac-Man and Super Nintendo, because I'm a big Super Nintendo fan. You know, I'm an old school gamer.
Which one now?
So, you know, it's a game that, you know, really it tests your ability to critically think and work under pressure. It's a logical video game. So, you know, there's a lot of multitasking. You have to get the magic color aliens to the magic color planets in time and everything. So it really stresses people out in a good way, you know.
Yo, Kevin, is that why you said that's like Pluto to Earth? Because you're into like the whole solar system?
Yeah, you got the reference. My mind was already in outer space when you said that. Yeah, exactly. Cool. But you know, in this game, you have your own, it has its own solar system. Like, instead of it being like the universe, is like Zoobliverse, you know. So it has its own planet, you know, and has its own, like, you know, system and everything. But it's in the App Store. It's called Zoobler. That was the first game I built, I wrote it on Objective-C, Apple's programming language, and it was really challenging to build it, but I succeeded in that. And then, you know, once I built that, you know, again, you know, I think, you know, some of the success with technology is exciting and it's thrilling. So it's giving me like an insatiable desire to like build something more. So I was like, okay, what can I do next? You know, instead of me being complacent, I'm like, what can I do next? So I'm like, okay, virtual reality seems like something new, you know, something new and powerful. So I decided to step up from like a 2D video game to like a virtual reality video game in outer space where I'm shooting aliens. So I created this outer space video game that's like 2,000 years in the future. It's called Zenus VR. It's a VR video game for the iPhone as well, where you're in outer space and you're like the only human on this planet, and you have these aliens are coming to attack you, and you have these laser ray goggles. You have to shoot and kill the aliens before they destroy and kill you. It's a simple first-person shooter, but it's my first VR app, and it's my first VR video game that I built. Called Zenus VR, and it's in the App Store right now. And then the app that I just built, a month ago, I built it on, it got launched on June 6th. It's called #CinemaVR. It's a virtual reality. It's a movie theater experience simulated in virtual reality. So you literally feel like you are in a movie theater, you know, in virtual reality. So you're able to watch movies with your friends and your family and other people across the world. You're able to talk to them like you and I are talking right now, and, you know, you're able to watch.
I got to check that out. So it's on the app. So you're actually watching a movie, and as you're watching a movie, everyone's on the same, you know, time on the movie?
Yeah. That's a premise, you know, where you're able to watch movies with your friends, your family. And particularly, it's more focused for YouTubers to be able to. It's a platform for independent filmmakers and YouTubers to be able to put the movies on the big screen without necessarily having to go through Hollywood. So they're able to submit their films, independent filmmakers. We accept films from independent filmmakers, short films, documentaries, 360 videos, a web series. The YouTubers that make their films, or the independent filmmakers that make their films, and they put the movies on the big screen, and then they're able to sell tickets to the movies to people that come and watch the movies. Like you would in a real movie theater, you buy a ticket
through
to go watch the movie, and then you're able to go watch the movies.
And they will be able to watch the movie through the app, Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you... Have you ever experienced virtual reality?
We're actually in the studio pulling it up right now. I'm like super in shock if you can see my face. I'm like, yo, he did this? Yo, that is amazing. So pretty much the concept is, so if I have a movie, so let's just say if I'm a movie maker, right? I have a movie. I come to you to try to pitch my movie for you to upload it onto your app. You will upload it onto your app, and then I can say, hey, I want everyone to pay $2 to watch my movie that I created.
Exactly. That's exactly how it works.
Wow.
It works like, you know, and that's why it's very convenient for social media influencers or people who have large followings who are filmmakers, because literally your following can be turned into your financial gain where, you know, if you have, you know, you have 500,000 followers, or you have like 5 million followers, let's say, and you make a film and you say, okay, I want, you know, you guys all to watch my film. I know you guys have been watching my 1 minute videos on Instagram, but I want you guys to watch my film that I actually made. And 2 million of them go watch your film and you charge 99 cents a ticket. You make $2 million straight off the bat, you know, all of the revenue goes directly to you, you know, so it's giving a way for filmmakers to have power, you know, it's giving power to the filmmakers to have control over their film creatively and financially.
Yo, we gotta go find Issa Rae. We gotta go find Issa Rae and connect you right now.
It's real got her, man.
She got her. Man, that is amazing. Oh my God, Kevin. So how did you get it to the Apple store? How did you get it to the App Store? Like, is that something you have to go do or you just send it off to them? How do you gotta write up a proposal? How does one get their app into the Apple store?
Well, it's actually, you know, it's actually much more straightforward than people presume it to be. You know, it's literally you sign up, you go to Apple, developer.apple.com, or for Android, you go to the Google Play Store website. You sign up to be a developer. You sign up, you know, if you have an LLC, you sign your company up and everything. You put all the business papers, all the tax papers, and your banking papers with them, you know, all the, you know, the housekeeping things, you know, with your business. And you pay $100 a year for you to be able to submit apps to Apple. And you can submit as many apps as you entire year. And they host your apps on the App Store for every year. It's like a subscription almost, you know.
Wow.
Now, when you submit your apps, the difficult part is them accepting it because Apple has been known to be more selective with them picking apps that they accept more so than Google. You know, it doesn't mean that it can't work. I mean, I'm a testament. I mean, I have 3 apps in App Store, but
talk about it.
They're just more selective with the apps that they pick. Your apps have to meet the requirements of. You know, it's just not altering or messing up the iPhone user's experience because everything is about user experience, right? So, you know, your app can't, you know, it can't overload a battery or can't, you know, heat up the phone too much. It can't have memory leaks. There can't be any viruses or anything like that in your app. It has to be, protocol has to be rated correctly. Like, you can't have, like, my app, you know, could have children films in it. But somebody could also make some films that will be R-rated with violence and everything. So I can't submit it to Apple and say, oh, this is a G-rated app and everything, because they reject it. They'll be like, no, there's content in here that proves otherwise. So your app has to meet requirements for Apple. But once it's, you know, once it meets requirements, they, if everything goes right, you know, they accept it. Just meeting the requirements, that's the hurdle, you know.
So, I got a question for you, right? You know that, sure. that old argument that keeps going, is I don't think it's ever going to end. I want to know your opinion. What are you picking? Android or iPhone? Or Android or Apple? I got to know what you're picking.
Well, man, you're going to make me choose. I have my apps on both stores, so I'll be a part.
Well, I'm not talking about for your app. I'm not talking about your app. We don't want to stop that pressure at all. I'm talking about when it comes to just your usage in general, your everyday usage. Which one would you go for, an Apple or an Android?
Obviously Apple, man. I'm an Apple fan, man.
Okay. What you mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think Apple is the way to go. I mean, I think I like Apple's encryption system where they, you know, the system is more closed, so there's less opportunity for viruses to get on your phone or for hacking to get into your phone. Not that it can't ever happen, but, I mean, I've heard about hacking and stuff and viruses getting on Android phones. I haven't heard about, you know, that happening with Apple. I feel more secure with Apple, you know, Apple devices. I'm not saying that it has the best everything, but security is something that I like about Apple. So I like Apple in comparison to Android.
I have a question. Hello? Yes, we're here. We're literally geeking in the studio. Like, oh my gosh, I cannot believe he's done these amazing things. But I do have a question. With your formal education of journalism, how do you use that with your entrepreneurship? So, like, do you write everything and pertains to your business, or do you have someone else doing it for you?
I'm actually trying to figure out how my degree is helping me right now. That's, like, my question. I ask myself every day when I wake up. Now I'm being sarcastic. But, no, I think it helps me out, not explicitly, but sort of implicitly. I think that I learned a lot. I had a lot of exposure to, a lot of critical thinking. I think that's one of the things that I could give the schools I went to credit for, is that, journalism, studying journalism, you learn how to critically think. You learn how to cover a story. You learn how to assess a large, especially in deadline writing or deadline producing or deadline video editing and all that. You learn how to assess a vast amount, voluminous amount of information, and make sense of it in a very short amount of time. And that builds logical thinking. That builds your critical thinking skills. That builds your critical assessment and ability to think sharply under pressure. Those same skills are applied to coding and programming, where you have to think critically under pressure a lot of times. It may be a different, tool that you're using to think critically under pressure, but your mental faculties, are sharpened. My mental faculties are sharpened from going to school, and that applies to what I do with coding and programming. And in regards to it explicitly helping me right now, I am thinking about, because I just went to VidCon in California. VidCon is like Comic-Con for like social media influencers. So I was out there for like a week or so. And just due to like my conversations with people and some of the YouTubers that were there, some of the people from Google and YouTube that I spoke with, it was recommended to me over and over again that I should start a virtual reality podcast of my own. So I think that might be my usage of journalism.
Definitely.
To like, talk about virtual reality technology and augmented reality and the future of, a technology-dependent society, which is where I feel like we're headed in right now, if we're not already there. Definitely. So that's my use of journalism explicitly. I think that's going to help me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. You literally answered my question thoroughly. I really, really appreciate it.
No, Kevin, that's really awesome. I will definitely be tuned in, because you actually have a story. Like, you have something, like, you have a gift that you picked up along the way that most people would be scared to run towards. You know what I mean? So I think that you actually, starting your own virtual podcast would be amazing. You'll be taking people into outer space, literally, based on the words that you will be giving them. I think that would be extremely amazing. But I have two questions for you before I let you go, because I want to know the first answer to this question. How much would one have to spend to get an app of their choice, like to get that perfect? I know everything's not perfect. Nothing's perfect. But to get that perfect app, very plain and simple, just to get you started kind of app, how much would that run an average person who's just starting out a business?
Is the person programming the app themselves, or are they paying somebody to program for them?
I'm going to say paying. It's used pretty rarely you find somebody who's coding themselves.
Okay, you send the person up for a hefty bill. To be honest with you, it depends on the type of app that they're building. Like building a calculator app is very different from building Facebook, and Facebook's very different from building a virtual reality video game. They have different levels of work and labor that goes into building those three types of apps. One's easy, challenging and very challenging, right? The price is predicated upon what people want to be built, like what the person wants to be built. I hear rates of, I hear rates of like 10,000 or higher for some apps, but I think those are the apps I've heard were like social media apps, that require a server, to pay for, it requires extra expenses. You know, I've heard, you know, when I first started off, you know, out of school, and I wanted to, you know, get an app done. I wasn't thinking about writing code at first. I was thinking about paying a programmer to do it for me because I was like, I don't know how to write code. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I had a social media app in mind I wanted to build. And when it was me and a friend from undergrad, we approached this programmer who she knew. We talked to him and we told him the app. He said, oh, you know, this is a pretty easy, straightforward app. I could build this in 3 days. I was like, okay, how much does it cost? Like, probably about $15,000 to $20,000. I was like, really? $15,000 to $20,000?
Yeah, I got that.
I was like, yeah, I was like, okay, you know, that inspired me. I was like, I got to learn how to code immediately. If you're making that much money off of people paying you to write code for the apps or whatever, and you could build it in 3 days, wow, I need to learn how to code immediately. Where have I been? You know, so that was actually one of the inspirations that, you know, inspired me to go learn how to code too. So, I mean, it depends on the app. You know, that's a quick answer, I guess, to give you. You know, some apps may cost like $5,000. Some apps may cost like $15,000. Some programmers may charge you by the hour, you know, so you don't have to pay that much upfront. It's just pay as much as we get done. Some people, you know, charge upfront, like, here, just give me a flat fee and the app will be done. So it really, really is subjective, you know, but it's definitely, it's normally not cheap to do apps, you know, it's not cheap. And, well, to me, in my opinion, I don't know if you got $5,000 laying around. But it's not cheap. That's not like a little bit of money to just be throwing around. So you will want to plan before you approach people about building an app.
Wow. I didn't know it could get that deep or that heavy or that expensive. Well, I definitely didn't think you was about to say $1,000. I was like $200, $500. You was talking about $25,000.
Well, you got to think, you know, like apps like Candy Crush, they make an average of $800,000 per day. You know,
yeah,
like,
okay,
they make billions of dollars. You know, mm-hmm. It's like no joke. Apps make a lot of money. So, you know, this is like a trillion-dollar – technology is a trillion-dollar industry, you know. So apps – that people understand the power of apps. I mean, Facebook's worth like $58 billion, you know, and that was started by some Harvard kids, you know. So it's not – you know, because of the potential, that's one of the driving forces of how much it costs to build an app.
That's really crazy. And that kind of leads me into my next question. We were just talking about it before you came on, Kevin. I really just want to know your opinion on the app, because it's old, but, you know, people just innovated in different ways. The SAR app that just came out that everyone is so, you know, excited about, this whole anonymous thing. Like, how do you, just your personal opinion, how do you like it? Are you feeling it? You're not feeling it? You think it's worth it? It's not worth it?
Well, you know, let me be honest with you. I never actually tried the app. You know, I've heard about it. You know, I heard you guys talking about it earlier. I've never tried the app. I understand the premise. From what I understand, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you pretty much are allowed to comment. People are allowed to give you – it's kind of like the honesty box back when Facebook was, you know, back on Facebook in 2007, where people used to write comments anonymously to you, and, you know, or it's like ask.fm, where people can ask questions or make comments about you, and you read it anonymously, and, you know, they give you feedback about your work life or whoever or whatever personal comment they want to make. Is that pretty much the premise of it?
Yes, but the key point that you just said, though, Kevin, you said back in 07, back in 2007. It's 2017, man. That was 10 years ago, and people still find this to be fun and intriguing. Tell me your opinion. How you feeling it?
Yeah, I mean, it's 2017. People still haven't, gained courage or, you know, they still have problems with transparency and being upfront and straightforward with people. So that hasn't gone away with humans. So, I mean, it's another version of it. I mean, I feel like it's, I don't really like the idea.
Perfect.
you know, anonymously telling people how I feel or receiving those comments, because it's like, if you tell me, oh, you hurt my feelings, and I don't know who you are, I don't know when I met you, I don't know anything about you, I don't even know, you know, what you're even talking about. You know, I'm here thinking of, I'm here to, you know, if I really dwell on that, you know, that really, you know, can mess up my day. Or if you tell me something that, you know, personally hateful to me, that really messes up my day. If I don't know how to identify you, if I don't have proper context of a situation where, you know, I can recall when I did this to you, I can recall why I did this to you, I can recall what made me do this to you, or what could make you feel this way about me, you know, so I can, you know, process the feelings in a thorough and healthy way, then, you know, I just think it's very counterproductive. I don't really like it, you know. I think people should just be straightforward. People, if you have something to say to somebody, like, find a way to communicate it, you know.
Definitely.
Whether, again, you know, whether that's to their face, whether that's through reaching out to them via social media, texting, calling, or whatever, you know. Like, I don't see a point in hiding behind a wall. I think it's, to be honest with you, I think it's sort of like cowardly, almost, in a way, you know, but hey, that's my opinion.
I'm with it. You try to be all nice and modest about it, just like, no, like, that's how I feel too, like, no, just no. I don't think we should still be doing that in 2017. It's too much for us to be focused on, for us to be distracted by anonymous conversations. And you, just like you said, you don't even know who it is. Like, somebody can be trying to trick you the entire time and you don't even know it because you think you're having fun on this app. But whatever, though, Kevin.
Exactly.
Can you go ahead and tell the people how they can find you, your website, where they can find your app on the Google Store as well as in the Apple Store, so they can go ahead and download that app and support you? Because I'm definitely downloading it on both my phone and my iPad, so I can definitely support you as well.
I appreciate that so much, POC. Yeah, I mean, you can find my app. Zoobler is the first app. It's spelled Z as in zebra, O-O, B as in boy, L as in Larry, E as in Edward, R as a rabbit. Zoobler is in the App Store right now. You can, the other app, Zenus VR, the outer space video game, is Z as in zebra, E as in Edward, N as in Nancy, U as in Unity, S as in Sam, and then VR, Zenus VR. It's like Venus, but spelled with a Z, planet Venus, spelled with a Z, Zenus VR. And then you can also find the virtual reality movie theater app, social media app. It's hashtag Cinema VR. Hashtag is spelled out, you know, so it's not like the actual hashtag sign, because Apple wouldn't let us do that. So it's spelled out, hashtag Cinema VR. That's also in the App Store. And you can follow us on social media at Nerd Inventions. That's N as in Nancy, E as in Edward, R as in rabbit, D as in dog. Nerd spelled the usual way. Invention spelled the usual way too. Nerd Inventions _. So the _ is the part where you have to make sure you write, so you can follow us. And then when you get on that page, my three other handles for all my apps are on that page as well. I don't want to give you guys too much information, because then, you know, you guys will know what to follow and all that. I know I have a lot of apps and handles. So if you go to nerdadventures_ on my social media page, you'll be able to see all the app handles there. And you can follow us and support us on social media and stay in tune with all the things we do. We also give out free virtual reality glasses to people who play our apps and everything. We have contests and everything. So make sure to follow us and stay tuned with some of the stuff that we do and everything.
I'm on it.
And some of the contests we run.
Kevin, I just downloaded hashtag cinema, and literally I gawked at my phone for 2 seconds. I was like, oh my gosh, what is it doing? But it literally just took me on like this whole trip. So it was really dope. And Zoobler, I can't wait to play. So I'm going to play when I leave the studio.
You need like virtual reality glasses.
I was just about to say that was her little way of pitching, like, you know what I'm saying, Kevin? We download the app. You know, dude, how we gonna get these glasses?
So I need some virtual. Yeah.
I appreciate the assist. I appreciate the pass. I'm gonna shoot the basket. So you can go to it's really really simple. You go to they have something called the Google Cardboard. They're literally virtual reality glasses made out of cardboard by Google. You can buy them off Amazon, or you could go to Walmart. Walmart has virtual reality glasses for literally $5, you know. People think they're very expensive. Some of them are expensive, but they have some, you know, some cheap models that are really, really good. And all you do is slide your phone inside of it, and you're able to be in VR. So you go to your local Walmart, or if Walmart is too far, which I don't think Walmart should be far for anybody in America, but if it is, you go to Amazon.com, and you can also get a free pair of Google Cardboards, and all you do is download a virtual reality app, and you're in VR, literally like that, you know, so it's really, really simple, straightforward.
Perfect. And before, one more thing before I let you go, Kevin, are you now like a full-time entrepreneur? Like when you wake up in the morning, are you working for yourself at this point in life?
Yeah, I am, man. Yeah, awesome. I am.
That's awesome. That is extremely awesome.
I
praise you, and I give you many, many blessings on your future endeavor, Kevin. I appreciate you coming onto the Revive platform and speaking with us and educating us, because you definitely educated me today. I hope you go and email me some of those links from YouTube that help you get to where you are right now, because I need to be sitting in front of my laptop to see how I can be a full-time entrepreneur just like you. So I thank you for that motivation, Kevin, and also this great conversation I had with you today.
Oh, it's been an honor. It's been an honor. I'll send you an email, and you can share with your Revive guests, too, about some of the resources they could use to learn how to code if they're interested in learning how to code. I think more Black people should get into technology, so I'll send it to you immediately.
I'm with it. Thank you, Kevin. I'm going to be waiting for that email.
All right.
Have a
good night, POC.
You too. So that wraps up in a great, 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 yo, amazing, actually, interview with Kevin Tarr, man. He is out here creating apps for the people. He has a virtual reality movie theater on your phone. Like, he created a virtual reality movie theater for your mobile device. How crazy is that? And people over here talking about Sara, like, that ain't no app. That has nothing to do with what is going on in this world. He just pretty much created the entire Sundance Festival on his phone. Do you know how impactful that is? Do you know how much that moves the culture forward? Like, I mean, moves it forward. And you guys over here trying to figure out who got a crush on you anonymously? Come on, millennials. It's time to wake up. And we're going to wake you up here on Revive. Thank you guys for whoever supported and tuned into the Revive platform. Tune into us each and every winning Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. and each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Once again, I want to tell you guys, thank you, thank you, thank you for always supporting the Revive platform. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe to the Revive newsletter. If you just scroll down right under where you click that blue button and listen to me live, if you scroll down, you will see a big word that says subscribe. Go ahead and do so. Also, shout out to Tab Money Habits. Stay tuned. I'm going to play that right back after the show. Shout out to Tab Money. Follow her on both Facebook and Twitter and also Instagram at cbelifestyles.com. That's her business page. Or you can go directly to her personal page on Twitter at tabmoney.com. I'm going to say tabmoney.com. Tab Money on both Twitter and Instagram. And then also, 7:30 a.m., people, you got to get up. Wake up, wake up, wake up with me, your girl PLC. Take your morning commute with me each and every Tuesday and each and every Thursday morning, starting at 7:30 a.m. I'm trying to educate and re-educate the people each and every time I get a platform to speak to you guys. Definitely. Tomorrow, I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this transgender situation with Donald Trump, man. I got to get into it a little bit more depth. So I want to have that conversation with you. Leave me some comments. Hit that heart button. Let me know how you feeling. Juice me up in the morning so I can wake you up in the morning and motivate you to get yourself going in the right direction each and every 24 hours you are blessed to see. You know what time it is. I'll be back on the airwaves on Sunday at 11 a.m. giving you guys some insight about this red carpet I'm about to be on Saturday up at Frischer's Park in Philadelphia, PA. So definitely stay tuned. I'm be up there with Troy Atkins looking at his big and tall collection. See what he's dropping with the sportswear. I'm really excited to see that. So definitely stay tuned. Follow the Revive timeline on both Facebook and Twitter at Revive_POT. Make sure you guys are using the hashtag Revive every time you send me something, every time you slide in the DMs, so I know it's real. Definitely. You know what time it is. It's me, your girl, POC. Get ready for this Tab Money Habits I'm about to drop on you.
Isn't it collecting funny, huh? They just won't leave you alone while you're sitting inside your home.
What it do, y'all. It's Tab Money coming to you live in the CBE studio. I had to do a recording for y'all because right now I am in Cancun, Mexico on a girls trip. I'm going to talk about the movie, talk about the group message. All right, so let's get into it. So first things first, today's episode is paying yourself first. Paying yourself first. Number one rule, saving 10% of all your earnings and not touching it. If you did your homework 2 weeks ago, you would have read The Richest Man in Babylon and you would have knew the moral of the story was to save 10% of all your earnings. The factors that go into paying yourself first. Keeping it somewhere where you cannot touch it, somewhere where you cannot see it. Keeping it somewhere where your money is making money while you sleep. That's the goal, for our money to work for us, not that we work for our money. We need to keep it somewhere separate from our checking account. We need to let someone hold it if we're not responsible to hold it for ourselves. I know I hold POC savings. If she need any of her savings money, she'll call me, tell me her justification, and yeah, I'll make that transfer happen for her. Only if it's a justifiable reason. And we can also keep it old school, like The Richest Man in Babylon. We can save it in a safe, in our treasure chest, in our shoebox, under the mattress. But you got to be responsible for those. And along with being responsible, as far as like saving in your home, you got to know that the most important part where I say you got to be responsible is because you cannot touch it. You cannot spend it. You cannot touch it. You should not even look at it. I do want to be clear that paying yourself first does not mean treating yourself to the movies, treating yourself to some new shoes or clothes or makeup or anything material or tangible. Paying yourself first means to save your money and do not touch it unless it's time to invest or unless it's an emergency. That's what paying yourself first means. You just want to treat yourself. Nah, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about literally saving your money, not touching it. Along with paying yourself first, the next saving habits that we have is having multiple savings accounts. I need you to save your loose change. I need you to keep them in jars, piggy banks, all around the house. I need you to have a savings account for your house. I need you to have a savings account for your car. I need you to have a savings account for your babies and your children. I need you to have a savings account for your investments. We save to invest. Again, we save to invest. That's the purpose of savings. The purpose of saving is to invest and also to have a safety net in emergency situations. POC, Trueheart, I got a quick question for y'all. What are potential emergency situations in your life? What are potential emergency situations in your life? Let's plan for this risk. Let's talk about it. All right, so the next saving habit we're going to get into is operating off of a percentage of your income. My man Eric Thomas, shout out to Eric Thomas, ET, the hip hop preacher, number one mentor in my life. He recommends that we operate on, or this is what he did, not for we, because he only for the strong and the people who are willing to breathe as hard as they want to succeed. So he, for himself, how he got successful was that he operated off of 30% of his income. Again, 30%. So that leaves you 70%. You either paying your big bills or you saving majority of it or all of it in his case. So let's break it down. We operate on 30% of our income. We get paid every 2 weeks. We get paid $30,000 a year, and we're breaking the math down. We get paid $577 a week. We get paid $1,154 every 2 weeks, and we get paid $2,500 a month. So 30% times $1,154 is $346.20. That's how much we can operate on for 2 weeks. $346.20. So that means we potentially saving $807.80. Do you think we can budget $346.20 for 2 weeks? PLC, True Heart. All right, so I got activities for us. All right, so activity number one, using multiple savings accounts, we're going to create a pie chart dispersing out $807.80. I'm going to break down what my multiple savings accounts would be if I was saving this amount. I would pay myself 10%. I would have my housing savings accounts, like housing investment savings accounts for housing and land. I would do that 20%. I will have my entrepreneurship money for all my entrepreneurship ventures. I will also save 20% for that. My life insurance policy, I'm also putting 20% into there. And then my IRA, I'm doing a Roth IRA. I'm going to get into that in a whole nother episode. But I'm putting 20% in my Roth IRA. And then I'm saving 10% for my next generation. So that's how I would break down my multiple savings accounts, dispersing my $800.07. I'm going to give you a few seconds, a few minutes to take some time to how you would budget your $800. PLC, True Heart, let me know your thoughts. All right, so activity number two. We're going to budget this $346 because we got to make it work for two weeks. This is our goals. We set it to it, and we're going to stick with it. So we got to make it work, $300 for 2 weeks. I know for myself, I got to make that work. All right, so this is how I broke it down for myself. For my transportation, I need $60 for 2 weeks. I'm the type, I ride the bus, I walk, I get on the metro. For food, I'm doing $100 for 2 weeks. And it can really be less than that because I'm straight vegetables with it. For my bills, I say we a student. I got basic bills, so like I'm just doing paying my student loans back. I got a phone bill. I may gotta pay for a rent somewhere for a room. So I'm gonna say my bills is $76 for 2 weeks. Breaking it down, maybe like $200 for the month, but the way I break it down and pay my bills is $76 for 2 weeks. My leisure activities, going out, I got $20 for 2 weeks. I ain't going nowhere. I know if I got to save my money, another good saving habit is to stay in the house. For my vices include like my beer, my alcohol, my liquor, my cannabis. I got $50 on it. And again, we keeping it at 100. We gonna keep it being real. Being real with myself is that I know I'm gonna spend my money on those things. So I gotta set a realistic budget as well. And I know that will last me for 2 weeks. My spending money for my miscellaneous purchases, I'm gonna have $40 for 2 weeks. I'm really not gonna leave the house that much. Unless I'm going to and from work, or if I'm going to work out, or if I'm meeting up networking with some folks, I don't really need too much money going here and there because I got my food on deck. I'm packing my lunch. I'm packing my snacks. I got water. I don't really need to buy nothing while I'm out. $40 can hold me down. And again, since we got that leftover 20 cents and one of our saving habits for the multiple savings accounts is to save our loose change, I'm going to pay myself again, and I'm going to save that 20 cents, and I'm going to put it in a piggy bank, which is like a jar. Or, yeah, I got multiple piggy banks sitting around the house for all change. So the 20 cents is I'm going to pay myself again. And then I got a quick question for POC and True Heart and for my listeners. I want to know, is this realistic to your lifestyle? To be honest, I have transitioned and made this my lifestyle, so this is realistic to me, because like I said, most of the time I'm creating, and I made my house a creative space, so I don't have to leave the house. And if I do leave the house, my cost is very minimum. Keep it very, very minimal. So I need to know, is this realistic for you? I would think of what percentage can you live off of your income for 1 month versus 2 weeks. And I need to know, would you do 40%? Would you do 60%, 80%? Or do you need to live off your whole check? We need to know. Let's talk about it. Self-development homework. I need you to create a savings pie chart. And I need you to create a budget. I need you to break down your income based on the year, how much you get paid annually. Break it down to every 2 weeks or break it down to a month, depending on when you get paid. And I need you to figure out what percentage of your income you can operate on. And then from there, create that savings pie chart and create that budget. This will be the blueprint to our financial plan. This will be our roadmap to financial freedom. Again, self-development homework is not for me. It's not for POC. It's not for True Heart. It's for you. I need you to do this for you. This is your homework for self. Nobody's checking it. Nobody's grading it but yourself. This is just the blueprint. We got to create the blueprint if we're going achieve financial freedom. Speaking the language. Today's word of the day is consumer. C-O-N-S-U-M-E-R. A person who buys goods and services for personal use. Consumer. Majority of people in the world today are consumers. Speaking the language, again, I said I'm going to be introducing you to the financial literacy language, the words that people who study financial literacy use. These are the words that I need you to incorporate into your lifestyle and into your everyday. Consumer. Are you a consumer? Habits of the free. The habit of the week is spend less than you make. I need you to spend less than you make. We all know we are consumers. Going back to the word of the day, consumers. We spend a lot of our money. But I need you to challenge yourself to spend less than you make. Okay, so I got an assist of the week for y'all. This is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to run over to Bloomberg.com. Or you can check it out on the TV if you have that channel, Bloomberg News. I need you to look up a financial article. A financial article. I need you to read that article. And then I need you to tweet POC at @revive_POC and send us the article and let us know why you chose that article. Again, a financial article. Jet over to Bloomberg News. On TV, or you can check out Bloomberg.com.